This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
One of the top burning questions that pet parents ask is, what to feed? There is so much conflicting information out there. There are so many things to choose from today. So I find that pet parents appreciate and welcome some guidance from people who know. That's why I'm really excited to have these people on the show today. One has 40 plus years experience as an integrative vet. She's an acupuncturist, a chiropractor. This is going to go on and on. So she is an acupuncturist, a chiropractor, a food therapist. She is a best-selling author, an international speaker, and a podcast host. Many of you out there know her and love her, and I'm talking about Dr. Judy Morgan. We also have Les Fisher. Les is a partner and CEO in a beautiful pet food brand called All Provide. They make raw and gently cooked meals for dogs and cats, and Dr. Judy has recipes on the site and guides them in formulating as well. So I want to welcome both of them. But first, before we dive in, we're going to take a short break from our sponsor. But don't go away, because we're going to do a deep dive into nutrition, and we're also going to cover some controversial topics. So grab that healthy beverage, get comfortable, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Pet Health Coach on Pet Life Radio, and I am Jody Peisch, your host. Don't go away.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Pet Health Coach on Pet Life Radio. I'm Jody Teich, your host. And we're here today with 40-plus year integrative veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, as well as many other things, and Les Fisher, who is the COO and partner of a raw food and gently cooked food brand called All Provide. I want to welcome them to the show today. Welcome, Dr. Judy. Welcome, Les.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. So let's dive in. Nutrition is like the hot topic, the number one thing that pet parents want to know because they're confused, and understandably so. Dr. Judy, what would you say are the key elements of a good diet for a dog and a cat?
For me, the key elements are feeding fresh foods that are minimally processed. So when we look at the number one and two selling brands of, actually probably the top 10 selling brands of food on the market for our pets, they are highly, highly processed, mostly dry kibble, some canned, but these are companies that are using waste products from the human food industry and a lot of advertising, which frankly, I would like to say is false advertising.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of terms that are used, like holistic, natural,
very loose,
real. Like I was reading a label yesterday and it said with real ingredients. I'm like, what else are you got? Like, it's real. Okay. Wow. What a great marketing term.
Low bar.
Like I cracked up. I was like, really? It's real ingredients. Okay. Nothing fake in there.
What's the alternative?
There are synthetic.
I think even that is a stretch.
There's synthetic vitamins and minerals in there, but they're still tangible. They're still real. You can still touch and feel them. So it's like, all right, great, whatever. Anyway, but we do want whole foods, foods that we recognize. When you read the label, you want to look at it and say, beef liver. I know what that is. Beef muscle. I know what that is. Beef heart, organic broccoli, organic butternut squash. I know what those things are. When I start seeing a list of chemicals, I kind of go, oh my gosh, my eyes glaze over and I fall asleep. And I'm like, and really a lot of these foods, when you read the labels, you recognize about the first four things, and then it just turns into a chemical soup.
Yes.
So that is what you really, really want to avoid. You want to avoid, and so here's a term that gets really bad PR, byproducts. Well, from a pet food standpoint, a byproduct is the organs, and it's the things that are not the muscle meat. Well, byproducts are not all bad. You don't want byproducts to be the main thing, and you don't want it to say meat byproducts, because what meat is that? Is it a camel? Yeah. Is it a pig?
Is it off the floor?
Exactly. So is it like the leftovers? Yeah. So anyway, so you want it to be a real named ingredient. Like poultry byproducts could mean just the liver, the heart, the kidneys, good parts of the bird. Unfortunately, in a lot of those bigger companies, that's not what it means. That it's including things like intestines that haven't been cleaned out. So you feed, feces is in there. Yum. Oh yeah. Well,
that's the thing. It's like the better brands will list the organs that are maybe considered the byproducts, as opposed to just this nebulous term byproducts that leaves you to wonder, okay, well, what exactly, what byproducts are you talking about?
Exactly. So, when Les is writing out the ingredients to put on the labels of All Provides Food, it's going to say pork liver, beef heart. Technically, those are byproducts, but they're being listed in order of descending mass in the
quantity
food, mm-hmm. so that you know what you're getting. And that's what you want to see. So, and we want things to be minimally processed. So a raw food, it's ground probably, unless you're feeding like whole chicken backs or that sort of thing. But so for something like the All Provide Food, it's ground. Is that a processing step? Yes, but it's minimally processed.
Right.
And then the gently cooked is your oven like a steam oven, Les?
Yeah. So it's a steam. So it cooks it with steam. So it's not any like harsh cooking or anything like that, and it retains all the moisture. So it doesn't dry it out and lose as much nutrients.
Right. So when we look at gently cooked, there are things where it doesn't get dried out. It's not cooked at really high temperatures. And we don't cook it to death, basically.
Yeah. Kill everything in there.
Right.
And absolutely.
So when we look at highly processed food, like kibbles, extruded kibbles, because I have to separate those from the baked foods, but an extruded kibble, most of those ingredients have gone through high heat processing multiple times, sometimes
like
up to
five times.
Yeah, so five to six times by the time it goes through a rendering process, and then it goes through an extrusion process, and then it goes through a drying process. So there's no nutrition left, and that's why you see that chemical soup added at the end, because it's like, oh, we got to put all the vitamins back in that we just killed.
But what pet parents don't realize is, well, two things, I think, to sort of take away from what you just said. One is pet parents maybe need to be suspicious when it says byproducts as opposed to listing the ingredients, because we just don't know. And the second is adding the chemicals in after the fact. Those are synthetic chemicals, and the molecular structure is very different. It's like a mirror of the real thing. So the body isn't able to process it. It's not as bioavailable. And in many cases, it's inflammatory, it's unhealthy for the animal. So yeah, I think pet parents need to be very concerned with vitamins that are added. And there are even pet food brands out there that are good food brands. They have, nice muscle meats and nice organs that they list by the actual organ and whatnot, but they add synthetic chemicals in. And I can't tell you how many questions and how many times you have to ask the same question over and over again to get them to admit that, because they know that it is not healthy.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's interesting.
It's
It's definitely easier to balance something by throwing a vitamin mineral mix in there. We were having a conversation about it earlier today, that one of the nutrition doctors that, we really don't have to be adding these zinc supplements into diets, because the AFCO level for zinc in food is much higher than it needs to be because they're using zinc oxide, which is not bioavailable. So you have to use a lot more in order to actually get the zinc level up. But for those of us who are formulating foods, we have to be able to say it meets AFCO standards in order to call it a complete diet. So yeah. we're kind of backed into a corner, but we can use whole foods to do that. And that's how I formulate. That's how the All Provide foods are formulated, where we're not having to add those synthetics in there. So we find a whole food ingredient that is going to have that. So let's say we need to get vitamin E in there. Okay, well, we can use sunflower oil. We can use organic, non-GMO sunflower oil to get that vitamin E that we need. We need to get zinc in there. Okay, well, actually feathers and fur would qualify really well. But believe it or not, fur and hair are not approved AFCO ingredients. So you actually can't say, well, we added, you know, beef hair, although it is in all those rendered products because they're not taking the hair off.
Right.
But feathers are approved. So if we want to grind up feathers, well, there you go. We got zinc, but we find better ways to do it than that.
Yeah.
And I think one of the hardest things too is when you are balancing these things with natural and whole foods, you will go, okay, so I'm going to use this to help with, you know, zinc and things like that. But then it also elevates other things, you know, so you kind of have to sit here and play with this balance of how much to add and okay, let's pull this away. Let's try that. So it really is like, I mean, it's very difficult, but it is possible.
Yeah, but also, how do you contend with, and this is an important thing I think for pet parents to know too, AFCO standards are based on kibble. And when you're feeding raw or very gently cooked, the vitamin and mineral quantities that are bioavailable are so much higher. So the AFCO standards don't really apply.
No, but unfortunately, to market a product and have it be sold to consumers, you have to follow guidelines. Okay, if I'm formulating food, I actually use FEDIAF, which is the European guidelines. I think they're much better. And actually, if you formulate to FEDIAF, 99% of the time, it's going to satisfy the AFCO requirements. But you know, also all the studies that were done to determine how foods are absorbed and how bioavailable they are were done by NRC like 20 years ago. Actually, I think it was longer.
I think in the 80s.
In the 80s, I think it was 40 years ago. And they were using single ingredients. So they would feed beef and, you know, like beef muscle and see how bioavailable that was. It wasn't done using, hey, here's a combination, highly processed food, we'll feed it and see how bioavailable it is. That's totally different. So, you know, for people who say, I want to see all the stats and I want to know exactly how much copper, zinc, manganese, fat, vitamin A, B, C, D is in there, it's really impossible because the pack of hamburger that he goes and buys at the grocery store that's 80% lean is not going to have the same nutritional breakdown as the pack that I buy that was processed in a different state, grown on different grass, fed different grains. So I get a little twitchy when I get people who are like, I need to know the exact breakdown. And I'm like, it's going to be different every batch. And actually, a good friend of mine who works for a pet food company, he took from one of their batches of food, he took a large batch, because commercial company, took a sample of their brand new food that was just formulated and sent it to one lab and had it analyzed. And then from the same vat of food, but a different side of the vat, took a sample of the food, sent it to another lab, and they came back with completely different nutritional values. So you don't even have the same exact numbers within one batch of food. So we give you the average, we have a batch analyzed, and we say, yes, we're following the same recipe, but the nutritional variations between each individual ingredient, each time you source it, each time you process it, is going to be different. So I think, you know, for the pet parents out there who are like, I want to make my own food, I'm afraid I'm going to screw it up, it's not going to be exactly right. Guess what? It probably is never exactly right.
And it doesn't have to be.
And it doesn't have to be.
Because as long as you get all the stuff you need in there over the course of time.
Absolutely. We manufacture in small batches. So we do like 800-pound batches. So it's not that much commercially. And so we put everything that's supposed to be in that batch together. But even in that 800 pounds, the first five is going to be different than, you know, 100 pounds later. So exactly. So I do said, you've got to get the average. And then, you know, as long as you're feeding whole foods, and even if you're, you know, feeding different vegetables and different proteins, you're getting, your dog is getting everything they need.
Yeah, because I see pet parents now going, oh no, this is now gotten exactly. even more confusing.
Well, and there was a great study done in Europe a few years ago, and they tested, I think, 100 foods, canned and kibble, from the big pet food companies. 94% of the canned foods did not meet AFCO standards, and 60-some percent of the dry foods did not meet AFCO standards. So you're buying food from the big companies that guarantee you it's all perfect and, you know, you're getting all the nutrition you need. Uh-uh, you're not. So don't get so freaked out that I have to feed this particular brand because this is the one my veterinarian says I need to feed, unless that veterinarian is me. Well, and as much as I love All Provide, that is what my animals eat most of the time. I have one who is an All Provide snob and he won't eat anything else. I mean, I'm going to hire him out to do videos for you guys.
Like a good idea.
Because we can put down 10 things and I know where he's going. But, you know, there are other companies that I also recommend that I really like because they're doing things the right way. You know, these at All Provide, where they can use organic fruits and vegetables, they're getting organic produce, humanely sourcing the meats and the organs, and knowing your supply chain and being able to trace everything back. That, to me, is where we need to be. That's where we need to be with our own food. And, you know, people get critical of me because they're like, I can't even do that for myself, let alone for my animals. And, you know, are you going to pay more for organic for yourself or for your pets? Yes. Are you going to pay more for humane, grass-fed, happy animals? Yes. And I get it. And I know that people have constraints and we do have food deserts in this country where people have a hard time getting things. So I understand that. And what I tell people is, look, you know, get to whatever level you can get given your circumstances, whether that's financial, whether that's locale, get to the best that you can do with the resources that you have available.
Exactly. I think food
absolutely.
Cleaning, you know, which definitely goes on in the pet world is very counterproductive. I think everyone who has a pet and loves them wants to do the best they possibly can for them. And even if it's, you can only afford kibble, but you can put a fresh food topper on
absolutely.
It, that is going to help more than you know.
We actually get pet parents often that will start on our food and use it as a topper. And then when they start seeing the results of what's happening, like my dog's not shedding as much, they're not itching as much, their coats are more shiny, they're more healthy, they're more energetic. That's whenever they're like, you know what, I can spend a little bit of extra money. I can find that in my budget to feed solely a whole food.
They make save on vet bills. Who do you want to spend your money
exactly.
with?
Exactly, the money will come back. Yes, absolutely agree.
It's cheaper now, but not later.
Exactly.
Talk a little bit about the diversity of meals that you offer, Les, so pet parents can understand that if they look at All Provide at whatever level, what they can find there.
Absolutely. So we have a little bit of a range, and we're still working on different proteins. But so right now we have chicken, beef, turkey, pork, and we recently introduced rabbit as well. And then, right. of course, we have those in our Raw Ready to Cook line and then also in our Gently Cooked line as well. And, of course, we have Dr. Judy's Constitutions, which are very diverse in different meats and proteins and vegetables and nutrients, things like that. So you've got plenty of options with everything that we have. We are also got a, you know, our raw cat food. We haven't really announced it yet, but I can go ahead and say it because I think we had a meeting about it. But we're also bringing Gently Cooked cat food as well. So that's something new that we're doing. So we're working on things and we're trying to, you know, diversify our proteins and our foods options and things like that. So
I'm really happy to hear about diversifying your proteins because we know that the more diverse proteins you can feed, the better. And maybe, Dr. Judy, you can speak to this a little bit with the amino acid profiles and different proteins and the big picture view.
Yeah, so every meat protein is going to have different levels of vitamins, different levels of minerals. For instance, if you're trying to get more zinc in the diet, beef liver is going to be your highest source of that. But for my own dogs, they'll rotate through all of the different proteins that All Provide has. But then I like to buy weird things for them occasionally. So I buy whole ground quail. I add eggs to their diet. We have a lot of chickens. I got the chickens originally for the dogs so that they could have fresh eggs. Now we eat more than the dogs do. Somebody in my office this week is buying muskrat for their dog. My daughter ordered a beaver tail for her dogs to eat.
These are new to me. I'm not looking for muskrat and
Well, it looks like
tail.
I got some work to do.
There you go. But I've also bought goat, venison, elk, llama. I mean, so many different lambs. There's so emu. I've done that. So many different things. And for my own animals, my cats and my dogs, they never get the same thing. Well, I can't say never. Rarely get the same thing two meals in the same day. So it's whatever I pull out of the refrigerator or the freezer, there's always different proteins that I can rotate through. And so some of them, like the emu, that's a specialty thing that, you know, they might not get that very often, but it's like, oh, look, that's available right now. We're going to throw some of that in there just for a change up, because they all have different amino acid profiles, different fat profiles, different vitamin mineral profiles. And that's kind of how we eat. And for the people who get so stressed out about, I have to have it perfect in my dog's bowl, think about how you eat. Think about how your kids eat. Let's see. You might have a bowl of Frosted Flakes I shouldn't use a brand name. You might have a bowl of really highly sugared corn in your bowl in the morning with maybe a little bit of healthy milk, which for most people, that's not even healthy, and a cup of coffee with sugar in it. So yeah, that was really, really healthy. And then lunch, you're on the go. So you go to the fast food place and you get a burger and fries, and then you get home for dinner. And you're like, I think I'll have a salad. Guess what? None of us die of vitamin mineral deficiencies eating like really horrible things that are not balanced. And I don't know anybody who sits there with a calculator figuring out what vitamins and minerals their child got in their meals three times a day this week. Like, nobody does that, and we all survive. Now, maybe you give your kid a vitamin supplement, and maybe if you are really, really worried that you are not supplying good nutrition, maybe you better get a vitamin mineral supplement for your dog or cat. But and cats, I will say, are harder than dogs for balancing. And cats will have problems with an unbalanced diet before a dog will. So if you are a cat owner and you want to make homemade food for your cat, really do some research, because cats are much trickier. Dogs are kind of like, oh, give me some shoe leather and some air and water and I'm good to go.
Why are cats more constitutionally sensitive when it comes to balancing the diet?
So they don't make a lot of the vitamins and convert things in their body. They're missing some of the enzymes and the chemical pathways that dogs have. So like the B vitamins are a lot trickier for cats. There's just a lot of things that we have to be very different. We have to have enough taurine. So for instance, we look at it and we say, okay, well, a cat eats a rabbit. That's a complete meal. Well, it's really not, because taurine is pretty deficient in rabbit meat. So if you're feeding a commercial diet to your cat and all they like is rabbit, you better make sure that that commercial diet either has added taurine or something in there that is going to get those levels up too. So it's really important, more important for cats, because like I said, dogs will kind of figure it out. Cats do not figure it out. And particularly if cats are indoor only, like our dogs will go out and they'll eat soil and they'll eat grass. My dogs were perusing the herb garden the other day and self-selecting what they wanted.
I love that.
And I had to laugh at them because two of them dove headfirst into the lemon balm and were chowing down like there's no tomorrow. I'm like, guess you needed that.
Exactly.
But our cats don't have that opportunity.
Yeah, that's how pharmaceutical came about. Exactly. And we learned from the animals. I love hearing that. Let's talk a little bit about the traditional Chinese medicine constitution meals that you have with All Provide that you've created. Can you explain a little bit about how that works to pet parents? I know it's a deep, deep, deeper subject that we don't have time for today, but how pet parents can go about finding out what that constitution is for their animal and, you know, just kind of the basics.
Yeah. So I will say for people who are really interested in figuring out your pet's personality and what you should feed them based on their personality and their constitution, it's on the All Provide website, I believe, as well as our website, the Pet Personality Profile. So you can click on it and answer some questions, and it'll help you hone in on what is your pet's Chinese constitution. Are they fire, metal, water, air, or earth or wood? And once you figure out what your pet's constitution or personality is, then we also tell you, well, these are the traits that we normally see. Like water animals, water personalities are usually very fearful, whereas the metal animals really like consistency and routine. And you better get up at the same time every day, feed them at the same time every day, tell them exactly what you want them to do. They're really good for obedience work because they love following the rules. Earth animals are like loving, rolling, think yellow lab, like, oh my God, I love everybody. So they all have their constitution. But if we don't support that constitution and it gets out of balance, then that's when things go south. That's when we get IBD and arthritis and liver failure and kidney failure. So we want to make sure that we keep everything in balance. And that's the really cool thing about Chinese medicine food therapy, is that once, like when you take this personality quiz and All Provide, their folks on their end made this beautiful, beautiful booklet that explains when things are out of balance. Like if earth is out of balance this way, feed this diet. If earth is out of balance this way, feed this diet. Like if you have excess fire, fire animals are the life of the party. They bark all the time. They're the redheads. I have one. She just cannot stop. Blah, 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 yep. blah. And so, you know, but if we don't control that fire, she's going to burn out her kidneys, which is her water element, because water puts out the fire. So if her fire is burning high all the time, then she's going to have early kidney failure. So once we learn how they all interact with each other, then we can support or damp down whatever element is out of balance. So it's really cool. And on drjudyu.com, which is our university, I actually have two TCVM courses, TCVM 101, Food Therapy 101 and 201. So if people really want to do a deep dive and really understand it, you know, and really get into it, we have courses on that. It's pretty cool. It's actually, the courses were based on what I taught at the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association meeting to the veterinarians. So that is the level that you're getting. You're getting the same level as the holistic veterinarians. So it's a really good deep dive. If it's something that for me, like I could talk about it for a month without stopping because it's just so cool. And so when I approached Dennis and Les at All Provide and I said, look, I want to make these TCVM diets. And I think that we can help so many animals and we can rebalance them because I have the recipes on my website, but a lot of people don't know how to cook, don't want to cook, they don't want to have to go out and find, you know, turkey gizzards. And
people are busy too.
They're busy and they don't know where to get this stuff. Like, where do you buy a beaver tail?
Yeah.
Not that that's in there, but
it's not in there yet.
So yet, yeah, exactly. So Dennis and Les were like, oh, that'll be cool. That'll be fun. And so, you know, they made the first 100-pound batches of each one of them. And then we tested them on all of our dogs and said, that's cool.
You know, I think I'm going to take that course. I'm really interested in doing it.
It is really fun.
Yeah. It's all about energy and energetics. You know, we're all made up of it. Every cell vibrates on its own frequency. Everything around us is energy. And you tap into that with your traditional Chinese veterinary medicine, acupuncture. You know, I tap into it with homeopathy. There's so much out there on this sort of basic level of quantum physics, if you will, that pet parents can learn about and use in whatever level and in whatever way they can to help their animals. And there's lots of cutting edge stuff coming in. Like you and I, when I was on your podcast, we talked about the hormone balancing and optimizing gel through a homeopathic process. And the latest thing that I just learned about is one that stimulates your own body to make more stem cells naturally. And there's a pet product coming out in a couple of weeks specifically to do that for them. So there's lots of cool things. Do you have a sort of go-to that many pet parents may not realize, either know about or realize they can do with their animal that you gravitate towards a lot for helping, you know, with a balanced animal, whether it's a supplement or how do you feel about supplements and the things that are absolutely important?
I have a store full of supplements on the other side of this wall.
I know you do.
No, I think, you know, every animal is an individual and should be treated as such. So that is tailoring their diet. I have 5 dogs. They eat 5 different things with every meal. Everybody's different. And there's different supplements for each one. Like I've got one with a heart murmur. I've got one with heart disease. I've got one with allergies. I've got one with behavior issues. And so a lot of the supplements they get across the board, but each one has a tailored approach. And somebody asked me this on a podcast yesterday, even though they're eating a balanced diet, complete and balanced, and they don't need anything added. First of all, I check my dog's vitamin D levels, because even if you're feeding a complete diet, each dog absorbs vitamin D differently. And we do find that most humans and most pets are vitamin D deficient, even on a complete diet. So I highly recommend that vitamin D levels be tested at least once a year. And all of my dogs ended up needing supplementation. I could do that by saying, okay, I'm going to give them extra egg yolks every day. I'm going to give them extra sardines every day. I give mine a couple drops of a pet vitamin D supplement. So, you know, what I recommend is that people kind of figure out what their individual animal needs and then find reputable sources of whatever that supplement is. So if it's a vitamin D supplement, if it's an anti-inflammatory supplement or like a CoQ10 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the blogs on my website, we have blogs for liver disease, kidney disease, heart disease, where we go through all the different things that you can use to support an animal that might be an early kidney failure or might have elevated liver enzymes. So it's really kind of doing a deep dive, knowing what your pet, what their baseline is, where their issues are, and then choosing your supplements based on that. So in our web store, our e-commerce, we are so incredibly picky about what we will recommend and what gets on the other side of that wall, that if I have vetted it, you know that it's human grade. It's something that I'm willing to give my own pets. It's probably something that I'm willing to give to me, because I usually go for these things before I go to the pharmacy and get something else. So that's my thing is, you know, just always go to a reputable source, whoever that is. And we have really good companies that we work with, like All Provide. I mean, in order for us to work with someone, one, they have to have an amazing product and it has to be human grade. And then two, they have to have amazing ethics, integrity, and care, and be passionate about what they're doing. Like anybody who's ever met Les and Dennis in person, or anyone who's ever been to the All Provide factory, they have an open door policy, first of all. And if Dennis sees a dog anywhere, I don't care where he is, he like immediately hits the deck and is rolling around on the floor, like telling them they're the best thing in the world. Like
yeah,
their office
yeah.
is full of dogs. Love. I mean, yeah, that's the kind of people you want to hang out with.
Totally. We're going to take a quick break for our sponsor. But when we come back, there are 2 things that I want to tackle with Dr. Judy and Les. One is a controversial issue about diet. And the other is something that could be lurking in your home, unbeknownst to you, that can cause a huge problem for you and your pets. What is it, and what can you do about it if your pet's exposed to it? We're going to find out. So refresh that favorite beverage, get cozy, and we'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Pet Health Coach. I'm Jody Teich, your host, and we're here today with Dr. Judy Morgan and Les Fisher of All Provide. Dr. Judy, there is some controversy brewing, and behind some of it is a very well-respected, longtime holistic veterinarian about feeding plant foods to your dogs and even cats. And the claims are that longevity is increased, illnesses are rolled back. I'd like your take on that, because we know historically species-appropriate diets, et cetera, and so forth. Tell me what you think.
I personally, in my practice, would not treat cats if owners insisted on them eating a vegan or vegetarian diet, because I knew they were going to die. They were going to have wrecked immune systems. They were going to develop cardiomyopathy. They're probably going to have retinal detachment. And even if they were feeding a commercial diet with all the synthetic vitamins added, and that's the problem. In order to get these diets up to have everything that we need, we're going to be adding synthetic vitamins and minerals. I don't even know if it is possible to make a vegan or vegetarian diet completely, but I don't think it is without adding things.
Or a cat. Or for both.
I don't even know for a dog, you know, and soy is a protein that gets used a lot. And when's the last time you saw, I mean, yes, our dogs will go out and eat a little grass occasionally, but they don't go out in the cornfield and just start like eating dried corn and dried barley. And I mean, and our wild dogs don't have stoves to cook it either. So, in order for them to digest a vegetable-based meal, it's going to have to be pretty well processed because the cell walls have to be broken down.
Yeah.
It is not something species-specific that they are meant to eat. And I'm still an outlier on the insect-based diets, because even that,
et cetera.
Who has done the nutritional analysis on crickets and mealworms and all these? And my cats, let me tell you, they love the dried mealworms that my chickens get. So, you know, and they catch grasshoppers all the time. So is it something they can eat? Yes. Is it something that's going to make a complete and balanced meal? Like, I haven't seen the nutritional breakdown and how that is absorbed and utilized by the body. And it's great that we've got all these companies lobbying AFCO to get these ingredients approved. However, I want to see 10 and 20 year studies on these things being fed to specifically to, because a feeding trial is 8 animals for 6 months and 2 of them can die.
Oh, I know.
You got to keep 6 animals alive for 6 months. Well, yeah. I'm pretty sure we can do that using insect protein, but what are we going to look like 10 years down the line, if that's all they're eating, or a vegan or vegetarian meal? And even in my practice, so I wouldn't treat cats, because after I had a few and they all had really torturous lives and deaths and it was horrible. So I banned that. And then with the dogs, I didn't have very many vegetarians. And for some people, it was a religious thing where they were like, no, we don't eat meat. We don't have meat in our house. I respect that. I don't think it's appropriate. So I would say get a guinea pig.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah. That's just my opinion. And I know it's controversial because there are quite a few leading holistic veterinarians who are now going that route. And I understand save the planet, blah, blah, blah. But Dr. Nick Thompson from the UK, I did an interview with him once and he talked about the impact that raising cattle, particularly grass-fed, you know, happy cows, the impact that they have on the environment versus some of the other things that we do to our body. Like we could literally wipe every cow off the face of the earth and not make a blip on the radar for climate and whatever's going on, you know, what all the complaints are. So like really sit back and think, what impact is it going to have on my pet if I don't feed them meat, if they're a meatosaurus? And what impact does it have on the environment if I don't do that? And then you make your own decision. But I'm just here to say that I don't think that dogs and cats are meant to be vegetarians.
Okay, thank you for sharing that.
That was my long-winded way of getting around to that.
We could spend hours talking about all this stuff because, you know, there are like the little branches off of that conversation, like factory farmed versus free range, you know, free finished cortisol levels in both bioavailable levels of vitamins and minerals.
Bacterial contamination levels.
You know, and these are some of the things that these leading veterinarians who are proponents of vegetarian or vegan diets are talking about too, you know, the herbicides, pesticides, antibiotics, hormones that build up in the meat, in the muscle meat and stay there and then go into our animals, blah, 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 less than plants.
But then in the plants, you know, we've got the glyphosate problems and there's all kinds of other toxins,
I know,
GMO.
We could spend all day. One thing I want to touch on because it's so important to more and more pet parents before we talk about this issue that can be affecting up to 50, you know, percent of households in America is less. Pet parents want to know more and more about sourcing. And, you know, because that is so critically important and they realize that now. Can you talk a little bit about how you source? Because I know you are responsible for dealing with the farms, et cetera, and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. So typically what we do when we do sourcing, we look for, of course, number one is human grade. And then we also look for what the meat looks like. You know, is it fresh? Does it look good? Because not only is it about where you're getting it from, it's also how they're handling it through the process as well.
Wow.
But of course, you know, we want everything to be grass-fed beef, you know, free-range, crap pasture raised, because also too, free-range doesn't necessarily mean that it's in the pasture. It just means that if it's cage-free, it can be cage-free inside of a building with 1,000 other chickens. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean that it's still in a good environment.
Yeah.
So we do a lot of research about what the farms do, how they handle the meat. Like Demcota Beef is who we get our beef from. So they're actually a kind of a regenerative farm. So they actually grow like vegetables and stuff like that on the farm that also helps feed the cattle. So it's basically like a full process that they do. So it's almost like they're in control of what the cows are eating, where they're at, what the soil is like. They're constantly testing the soil. So just things like that are what we look for. And we try to keep things, we would love to do like, you know, all organic, everything super top high end. But we also want to be affordable. We want people to be able to buy our foods and be able to feed their dog a healthy diet because it already is very expensive, even with just doing what we do. You know, like the Dirty Dozen, we do all of those organic. So apples, green beans, spinach, kale. And those are definitely a lot more expensive than non-organic items of that sort. So,
absolutely. Well, that's really great to hear. Thank you for sharing that. I know it's important.
Absolutely.
Dr. Judy, up to 50% of households can have this. And speaking from personal experience, I lost my sweetheart, Sophie, to a house with this. Her grade 3 heart murmur turned into congestive heart failure in 8 months. And before she ever presented with her first symptom, she was so far along. So please tell us about how prevalent mold is in homes, what some of the symptoms pet parents can look out for to consider mold as a cause, and then what they can do about it, because you have a whole protocol. which I wish I knew.
Well, that's actually a fairly new protocol because, oh gosh, maybe a year or so ago, I was asked to participate in a clean air summit, and I was supposed to be talking about indoor air quality. And it was one of those things I had never really looked at. And I was like, yeah, cool. That, you know, that's a slightly different rabbit hole to go down. And so I went down a rabbit hole. Like midnight, my husband comes in the office. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, this is like, I'm finding all this amazing information and I'm reading all these studies. And I'm like, you know, NIH studies on VOCs in the environment and household chemicals and cleaners and, you know, Teflon and just all these different things. And included in that, I kind of got down the mold rabbit hole because I was looking at carpet and carpet cleaners and using, you know, like wetbacks and steam cleaners and things on our carpets. What happens is that we actually make things worse with all these carpet cleaners because it traps the mold and bacteria actually in the carpet fibers. And it's just releasing bacteria into the air. And if you don't have, if you live in a humid environment, you don't have a dehumidifier, or if you have a humidifier that is set incorrectly, or like at our house, brand new house, we had a hurricane that came through. And a couple of weeks later, I was standing in my laundry room and I'm like, there's something black in that crack up there, like where the wall comes to the ceiling. And so I got up on a stool and I looked at it and I went, holy crap, there's mold up here. There's black mold. So 50% of houses have mold. Now I'm in a brand new house. Why do I have mold? And what we discovered is we had to go up in our attic space, and where one of the vent pipes comes out of the roof, they didn't seal it well enough at the roof. So rainwater, because it was a hurricane and things were blowing sideways, it blew in underneath of there, and then everything got wet up in that attic space, which is not a storage attic, but it, so it got wet up there, and then that caused the mold at that ceiling juncture. So, you know, now it's like, well, that's pretty obvious. But unfortunately, for many of us, it is not obvious.
No.
We had a house
behind
at the shore.
Walls.
Yeah, we had a house at the shore. We were upstairs, and somebody else had the downstairs, and they went to redo their bathrooms, and they ripped the wall out and found a whole bunch of mold. And they called me and said, your bathroom's leaking into our wall. And I'm like, I don't think so. And so they took pictures and sent them to me. And what had happened is when they had sheetrocked the wall before, they had put a nail right into the pipe coming down from my bathroom. So it wasn't my bathroom. It was them putting a hole in the pipe. But they had all this mold back there that they didn't know about. So a lot of times, like, you might have a leak behind a wall that you don't know about. It's not enough to make a wet spot, but it is enough to make mold.
And it only takes 24 hours for mold spores to start propagating.
And so that mold is in the air. You don't see it necessarily. You don't smell it necessarily. But it's there and you're breathing it in. You may be touching it. For our animals, they're licking, you know, they're laying on carpets that may have mold spores in them. They're licking them. They lick their bodies. And so it is a big problem. And we can have liver failure. We can have seizures. We can have respiratory problems, fluid buildup problems like the congestive heart failure. So it's a huge issue for us. As one of my technicians, her brother was in a school that had mold and they didn't know it. And he actually developed seizures and had to have brain surgery to have a shunt put in to drain the fluid out of his brain in eighth grade from the school.
Wow.
So it can be like dramatic.
Dramatic.
So when I did this deep dive down the rabbit hole, I kind of figured out that, hey, this does affect our pets and we need to have a detox protocol. And believe me, if you're living in a moldy house, you want to get detoxed as well as your animals. So we actually have a free download at drjudymorgan.com on mold, and it's how to detox your animals. And so basically we're going to clean their liver because the liver is a filtering agent. We're going to clean their kidneys. All the, we even have products for doing a blood cleanse, but you really want to do that cleanse of the body, basically detox everything and help them get rid of that. So it's a free download. Anybody can go grab it at drjudymorgan.com. And then we have a whole page on this month, we're focusing on environmental toxins. So we have natural cleaning products, natural cleaning product recipes that you can make at home. So we're really trying to get everybody to clean up their environment because it affects our pets much higher rate than it affects us. They did studies looking at toxins in the household environment, and some of the levels were 40 times higher in our pets than they are in us. And it's just because of how they live in the environment versus how we live in the environment.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's wonderful that we can share that protocol. One of the many things that we can share with our pets. So valuable. Thank you so much. Can you mention your new book to people and where people can find your podcast?
The newest book is Keeping Your Pets Naturally Healthy, which is a holistic guide for cats and dogs and has over 42 new recipes in it. The one right before that was Raising Naturally Healthy Pets. We also have a parasite book that came out this past year. So there's been tons that have come out. And my podcast is Naturally Healthy Pets. And so you can find that on Dr. Judy Yu and tons of information on drjudymorgan.com.
Thank you. Les, where can people find All Provide?
Absolutely. So you can allprovide.com, your local pet stores, if they don't carry us. We do independent pet stores. We don't do big boxes. So if your independent pet store doesn't have us, you can definitely request it. And then, of course, on social media, it's allprovidepets on Instagram, Facebook. I think we actually have a TikTok now that we're going to start putting some stuff on. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you both.
They're putting me to work.
For being here. Yes. Thank you both so much for being here and taking time with me today and sharing really valuable information for pet parents. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks. And thank you all for listening. As a certified health coach for people and pets, my mission is to share holistic healing guidance for the whole family to create vibrant health. So tune in next time for information, expert interviews, and tips to give the animals we love the longest and most vibrant life we can. I'm Jody Teich, and this is the Pet Health Coach.
Let's talk pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.